guys, we're back with another great episode of Philly Sports Deep Dive. We're mainly going to be focusing on Jason Kelce's retirement today, but we're also going to look at the Zach Wheeler deal, the NFL, the Flyers making moves, the Phillies, and the Sixers today, so let's get into it. Before we get started, I want to wish my godmother, my Aunt Jeannie, a happy birthday real quick. It's her birthday tomorrow. She never forgets my birthday, so I'm not going to forget hers. Happy birthday, Aunt Jeannie. Also, remember to check out my website at phillysportsdeepdive.com to check out news and my episodes and where you can find them. So without further ado, let's get into the show. The big Philly sports news of the week is Jason Kelce's retirement. On Monday, the longtime Eagle center announced his retirement tearfully in a press conference at the NovaCare Complex. So today, I want to first give a tribute to Jason Kelce and basically say what all of Philadelphia is thinking, and then I want to talk about how they're going to fill the hole at center that Jason Kelce has been playing for so long. Jason Kelce played 13 seasons here in Philadelphia after being drafted in the 6th round out of Cincinnati in 2011. Half of those 13 seasons, he was essentially considered the best center in the league, earning 6 first-team All-Pro selections, along with 7 Pro Bowls. He was the starting center of the Super Bowl-winning team in 2017, and he was maybe the best center in the league up until his final snaps this season. Kelce's path to the NFL was not an easy one, but when he got there, he never looked back. He's a star every single one of his seasons in Philadelphia, and continued to prove doubters wrong. When he really started to endear himself with Philly fans was during that incredible Super Bowl speech he gave in the Mummers outfit in February 2018 after defeating the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52. Kelce is beloved in this city. He embodies everything that Philadelphia is, and he is the ideal athlete for Philadelphia. He is the perfect Philadelphia athlete. I cannot express that more. I cannot overstate that. And he was just an amazing player, an amazing leader, an amazing teammate, an amazing person. Everything he did on and off the field was greatly appreciated by all of Philadelphia. He really is truly one of the greats. So Jason Kelce, on the behalf of all Eagles fans, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for all of your great seasons and great production and everything that you gave us during your time here in Philadelphia. So now I want to talk about where Jason Kelce is all time. I mean, he might be the best center of all time, but I also think he is the greatest Eagle of all time. First of all, there's the loyalty factor. 13 years, and they were all in Philadelphia. There was never any speculation of whether he was going to another team or not. Kelce was an Eagle through and through, and he did express that during his emotional press conference on Monday. He really was loyal, and you cannot say that about some of the other greats in Philadelphia Eagles history. I'm not docking these guys by any stretch of the imagination. They were all very good and beloved in the city, but even guys like Reggie White and Brian Dawkins didn't even stay here their whole careers. Jason Kelce was different. He wanted to stay here his whole career from the moment he got drafted. He said it was one of his goals, because growing up, he said that he saw a lot of athletes come and go and chase the bag. Jason Kelce said his goal was for the NFL was to play for one team his entire career, and he did that. The second factor is longevity. 13 seasons in the NFL as a center is incredibly difficult, especially being an offensive lineman, and also the insane game-started streak that he had is just incredible. To be able to do that at the kind of position that he's playing, and with the tush-push and all of that, it's nothing short of amazing what Jason Kelce did his entire career here. Third is the accolades. He's got a Super Bowl championship, which are the most important, but also, as I mentioned before, 6 first-team All-Pros and 7 Pro Bowlers. There are not many centers who have gotten 6 first-team All-Pros in their careers, and all the centers that had are Hall of Famers. Jason Kelce is truly among one of the greats in the NFL's history. Without a doubt, he's going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. And it's crazy because there's no definitive answer for which Kelce is better, because they're both the best at their positions. And Jason Kelce, at least for his career personally, is going out on a high note. He's not going to fizzle out and become a no-name by the end of his career. He was still the best center in the league when he retired. And I don't think anybody's going to argue that, because he was on the first-team All-Pro team this year. Of course, Jason Kelce would have loved to go out on a championship, but we can't have it all. What Jason Kelce did have, though, was accolades, and he had a lot of them. Again, a Super Bowl championship, and all the All-Pros, and Pro Bowlers. Jason Kelce is truly, truly one of the greats in Eagles history. The good news for Eagles fans is that they already do have a probable replacement for Jason Kelce at center, and that is none other than one of our starting guards, Cam Jurgens. Cam Jurgens was drafted in the second round of 2022, and he was drafted specifically to be the replacement for Jason Kelce, and because Jason Kelce really, really liked him. In fact, Jason Kelce said that Cam Jurgens was, quote-unquote, my favorite player in the draft. So, clearly Jason Kelce likes this kid, and that's clearly coming from someone who knows how to play center at a very high level. So, I am hopeful that Cam Jurgens can at least be a very good center for the Eagles. I'm not expecting him to come anywhere close to Jason Kelce's greatness at the position, but I do think he'll be good. So, now that we got that out of the way, I do want to talk about the NFL, because what's gone down in the NFL over the past couple of days has been nothing short of crazy. So, first of all, Zach Ertz signed a 1-year deal with the Commanders, which is kind of a shame, because now we're going to have to play him twice next year. But we'll get to see him again. I'm sure he'll get a nice standing ovation from the crowd. Zach Ertz, one of the great tight ends in Eagles history. What I really want to talk about, though, is the reason why Zach Ertz was signed. And that is good players getting released to save cap space. The Commanders recently released Logan Thomas on Friday, their veteran tight end, who had proven to be very reliable over the past few years. This is not the craziest thing that has happened, though, because the Bills are releasing Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, and Mitch Morse, along with Deontay Hardy and Saron Neal. And they also released Nyheim Hines as well. I mean, that's a lot of players, and a lot of them are good, too. Nyheim Hines is, like, a good kick returner, and Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer have been considered some of the best defensive backs in the league in recent years. Also, the Seattle Seahawks are making moves, too, as they released former All-Pro safety Jamal Adams, quality starting safety Quandre Diggs, and tight end Will Disley. The cap-saving moves are basically a part of every single team's. Starting linebacker of the Miami Dolphins, Jerome Baker, has been released as well. Veteran linebacker Eric Kendricks from the Chargers has been released. I mean, it's insane. And the Eagles have done a little bit of that too, as they recently released Kevin Byard, who they traded for mid-season. At the time of that Kevin Byard trade, I really, really liked it. He should have been a great help to the secondary, and they got him at a cheap price. But he turned out that Kevin Byard, I guess, just wasn't a very good fit. He largely underperformed during his short time in Philadelphia. The good news for the Eagles, though, is that with all of these players getting released, now there's more talent on the free agent market that they can go and get for hopefully relatively cheap and fill some of those holes. A guy like Tre'Davious White would be incredible in this Eagles secondary. And while I don't expect that to happen, there's plenty of possibilities. Also, remember all those quality linebackers I mentioned, as that is a big need of the Eagles as well. I mean, the cap-saving moves are just absolutely insane this year. I don't think we've ever seen good players get cut at a rate like this, ever. I mean, Russell Wilson is the obvious choice. Russell Wilson recently getting released by the Broncos, but we all kind of knew that was coming. For whatever reason, Sean Payton did not like Russell Wilson in Denver, despite him having a good season. And now, the Broncos are still left searching for answers at quarterback, and have basically now officially done one of the worst trades in NFL history, trading for Wilson, because the fact that they've released him before his Supermax extension even started to kick in. So a lot of dead money for the Broncos, and I don't even like the move, as I think Russell Wilson is still the best quarterback option for them. But, I mean, the free agent market this year is absolutely loaded. I mean, you've also got Kirk Cousins in there, too. And, obviously, a lot of these high-end players on the free agent market aren't exactly what the Eagles are looking for, such as these quarterbacks, because we're not going to release Jalen Hurts just to sign Kirk Cousins, and we all know that. But it's just really interesting what is going down in the NFL over this past week, week and a half. Despite the salary cap being increased, all the teams are just releasing players at a shocking, shocking rate. And I'm just really, really shocked that this is happening. It's really just insane. But let's get into the Phillies now. As recently on Monday, in a move that got really, really overlooked because of the Jason Kelce retirement, Zach Wheeler has signed an extension. It is a 3-year extension beginning in 2025 and running to 2027, worth $126 million, a salary of $42 million a year, making him one of the most highly paid pitchers in baseball. And I like this move. Zach Wheeler being an impending free agent and all, it was definitely the right move because Zach Wheeler is the ace of the Philadelphia Phillies staff. He regressed a little bit this year. He was much more durable than he was last year. He was not injured, basically, at all. His ERA was up a little bit, but he was still a very, very good pitcher. He was in that Cy Young race in the NL, and I expect him to have a very good season this year. In fact, I'm going to predict that Zach Wheeler will have a sub-3 ERA and 220-plus strikeouts. I really do think highly of him, because when he's on, he's unhittable. He's unhittable. His fastball looks really good at times. His curveball is electric at times. I mean, Zach Wheeler is just a really, really good player that has been really, really good ever since coming to the Phillies. And he's also really, really good in the playoffs, which is important because not every player can be as good in the playoffs as they are in the regular season. I mean, we see it with Justin Verlander. Last year against the Phillies in the World Series was not good, despite having a sub-2 ERA in the regular season. But guys like Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola, and even Ranger Suarez, too, are all very good in the playoffs, hence making them very valuable starting pitchers to have on your team. So I really do like this move for the Phillies, and again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm excited for this season. I think they're going to be very good. And they've looked good this spring training. Again, their guys are just kind of getting into the flow. They've lost a couple games in a row, but nobody really cares about that. That's not the point of spring training. Everybody's looked good. I'm very excited for this season for the Philadelphia Phillies. They're going to be a very good team. Again, like I predicted last episode, I'm predicting 95-plus wins for them. Now let's get to the Philadelphia 76ers. At the time I'm recording this, they are playing the Grizzlies tonight. I expect them to win this game, but I would not be too surprised if they lose because I believe they're going to be down Tyrese Maxey once again, which is just, he's being evaluated for a concussion, and it's just really, really bad for the Sixers. I mean, I don't think that Tyrese Maxey has a concussion. I hope that he doesn't because we really, really need him. Last night, the Sixers played the Brooklyn Nets, and they fell 112-107 as a result of some very poor fourth-quarter defense, but I'm not particularly frustrated with that game. The Sixers are just really, really down in terms of injuries, and they still held their own against the Nets team that, I mean, obviously isn't very good. They just fired their coach recently, but they're not complete scrubs. They're not at the same level as the Pistons. And before that, on Sunday, when the Sixers were at full strength, minus Joel Embiid, that was the game Tyrese Maxey took a fall, and it's the reason he's being evaluated for a concussion, but Tobias Harris scored 28, and they won 120-116 at the Dallas Mavericks, snapping a Mavericks home win streak. That was a very nice team effort win. They were up for most of that game, and against a quality opponent, the Sixers finally get a win against a good team. In that next Nets game also, Kelly Oubre maybe had his best game since opening day against the Bucks. He was very good in that game, and I really do have hope that he can return to that early season form that he's kind of lost. He had 30 points, and he was just really, really good. He was coming up clutch late for them, even in the losing effort, and I'm hoping that he can be a real difference maker come playoff time, and even during the stretch of the regular season, when they're just desperate for wins. The next big game for the Sixers is this Friday against the Pelicans. I will be at that game. The Pelicans, as of the time of this recording, are 37-25, with the 76ers being 35-26. I think the Pelicans are a good team, and a win against this team would be a great confidence booster for the Sixers. It's going to be tough, though, because the Sixers, again, were not good in the fourth quarter, defensive-wise, against the Nets, and they're going to be have to guarding Zion and Brandon Ingram, both of which are very good players. But I think the Sixers can win this game. Tyrese Maxey is predicted to be back for this game. I really hope he is. But I do think the Sixers can win that. It would be a great confidence booster, as then they have to play the Knicks on Sunday and then again on Tuesday before going to play the Bucks on Thursday. So they've got a tough stretch coming up after this Grizzlies game. And then they play the Hornets and have another tough stretch against the Heat, Suns, Lakers, Clippers, Kings, Clippers again, Cavs, and then Raptors to close out the month. So I think these next two games against the Grizzlies and Pelicans are critical. Again, I expect the Sixers to win this game, but I wouldn't be that surprised if they lost to the Grizzlies, despite the Grizzlies being essentially a G League team at this point. But I do think the Sixers need this win tonight, because this is a tough month of March. This is a really tough month, and it gets a little bit easier in April for those couple of games, but they just really, really need to get the wins against the easy teams while they're there, because it's going to be tough to get wins against teams like the Clippers and the Knicks that you're playing multiple times, and taking a West Coast field trip, it's going to be rough, but I think the Sixers do have a few good wins in them. I think Tyrese Maxey has a few really good performances in him against these good teams this month. I'm worried about the Sixers, but I'm not too concerned. I don't think they will fall into the play-in. I mean, right now, they are currently in the play-in as the standings sit now. And that's going to be a difficult thing to get out of. They're tied with the Heat, but they play the Heat again this coming month. So if they're a game behind the Heat and half a game behind the Knicks and the Magic. So tied with the Heat, half a game behind the Knicks and the Magic. I do think that either the Heat or the Magic are going to end up dropping down into the play-in at some point, because I don't trust the Heat during the regular season, and I don't trust the Magic at all. So I don't think the Sixers are going to be in the play-in. I'm really, really just hoping that they're not in the play-in, because I think that would really, really devastate their chances at making a run in the playoffs if you have to play a couple extra games to get in. But I still do have a little bit of confidence left in this team that they can escape the play-in and end up as a 5 or 6 seed, and at least have a shot in the playoffs. That's all that Sixers fans are hoping for, is just a shot. So before we end this show tonight, the Flyers recently made a move. They traded their defenseman, Sean Walker. So Sean Walker is headed to the Colorado Avalanche for Ryan Johansson. I mean, I don't really think much of this deal. It's basically just a decent player for a decent player. And they're also, in return for Sean Walker, getting a first-round draft pick that is top 10 protected. So that is good for the Flyers, a team that's sort of rebuilding, but sort of contending at the same time. Getting those top 10 draft picks while they have them is it's good for the Flyers. But ultimately, I don't think too much of this. Ryan Johansson is a center. Also in Flyers moves is that Nick Seeler is headed to IR. And he took a puck to his left ankle against the St. Louis Blues in that shootout loss. So he's on the injured reserve right now. But the Flyers are fine. Right now, they are still third in the Metropolitan. They are up 4 points to the fourth team, which is the New York Islanders. I mean, the Flyers are looking good. They've lost a couple games now. They have lost. They beat the Senators 4-2 on Saturday, but then they lost in a tough shootout loss at home to the St. Louis Blues 2-1. That game had some positives to take away from that. I really liked Sam Ersson, and he made a really, really great save during the shootouts to, at the time, save the game. Ended up not mattering, but I really liked what I saw from Sam Ersson in that game. But I'm not worried about the Flyers, about these recent losses. I just don't think that they're really concerning, because the Flyers are a streaky team this year. I think at this point, that's just how they're going to be. They're going to have hot stretches. They're going to have cold stretches. As long as they can just make it to the playoffs and at least have a chance to make a little bit of a run, maybe advance a series or two. But, again, the Flyers' future is really, really bright, and I'm excited to see what they can do next year, because that's when they're going to be battle-tested and ready to win. So that is probably going to wrap it up for this show today. I hope you enjoyed. Remember to check out phillysportsdeepdive.com for the news and podcast locations and listen there. And just one final thank you to Jason Kelsey on his retirement. Broadcasting seems like the most likely possibility for him, but I wish Jason Kelsey the very best and only the very best in what he's going to do, whatever he does in retirement. So thank you for listening. This is Philly Sports Deep Dive, and I will see you guys in the next episode.